Welcome back. Rink Red Show, NBC Sports 920 The Game, Ballpark Frank Hernisch, Ryan the Hockey Guy, talking a little hockey and the current standings in the NHL. We'll look at the some of the points leaders, various different areas in the NHL. Got a feel-good story coming your way. But right now, well, Ryan's a Kings fan. I'm a Blackhawks fan.
Don't rub this in.
I'm not rubbing anything in. I'm just going. Okay. So Now we're going to go to the West. We're going to talk about the West a little bit in the NHL. And if you've been listening to different podcasts and that for most of the season, I've tried to be honest about things. I am a Blackhawk fan first and foremost above all. I thought the Wild were the best team in the regular season for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. I still think they're an incredibly dangerous team. They have struggled lately. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games. The Hawks have recently caught fire. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games. They are playing very well. Tuesday night, when the Blackhawks beat Montreal and the Wild lost to the Washington Capitals, the Hawks have taken over the points lead for the Central Division, 93-92. Now, Minnesota does still have a game in hand. But something that I would have said almost a month ago would have been almost an impossibility, or something that I wasn't even looking at. It's like, just get into the playoffs and be healthy and see what happens. All of a sudden, I think, is a very realistic possibility of the Hawks actually possibly winning the Central Division and gaining home ice throughout the Western Conference playoffs. If that happens, I think that would be a good thing, as long as they do it by not overselling the importance of that or tiring people out or doing something that could be detrimental in the long run. I still don't think home ice is the be-all, end-all, do-all that you sell everything out for and you burn yourself out for like we've seen the Capitals do in the past. But it would be nice to see them have that home ice after what happened with St. Louis last year. But I will throw this in as well. When it comes to Minnesota, Minnesota had owned the Hawks recently in the regular season. They had won 8 in a row. The Hawks have won the last 3, so I think it's already in the Wild's head. The Hawks are playing well right now. Now, does that mean that it's going to continue that way? I'm watching the game the other night. Anisimov goes down in the corner. He's listed as day-to-day now, but when that first happened, I thought he had a broken ankle or something. Injuries and a lot of different factors can go in there and screw something up, and then a little bit later, Shea Weber takes a slap shot, almost decapitates Corey Crawford, and I'm going, oh, my God, Scott Darling's not a backup right now. Please don't be injured. Well, Crawford never even left the ice. He stayed on. But when I see stuff like that, and then I remember Kane getting injured towards the end of the season a couple years ago, the last time when they won the Stanley Cup, which I thought was devastating at the time, but actually in a weird kind of way turned out to be almost a blessing in disguise because he had the energy in that come playoff time. There's still a lot of hockey games left. What do you think about the Hawks catching the Wild? Should that be a priority for them? How important is it? And remember this, too. The Hawks have very few home games left. The majority of their stuff will be on the road, but lately they've been road warriors.
So with a team like Chicago that's been there before and has won 3 Stanley Cups in the last 7 years, I don't think that you need home ice advantage to be successful. You've done everything that you've needed to do, and you've won Stanley Cups on the road, you've won Stanley Cups at home, you've won Stanley Cups as the President Trophy winners, you've won Stanley Cups as, you know, teams that as a team that hasn't even won their division. So I don't think it matters to Chicago, and I don't know that it should. However, imagine a scenario in which we get Chicago, Los Angeles in round one, which is what it would be, because if Los Angeles is able to get into the playoffs, they would catch St. Louis, and that team would end up playing the winner of the Central. So that would be a dream first round matchup for, you know, people that have paid attention to Western Conference hockey over the last 5 years, because those have been the two most dominant teams.
St. Louis does currently have a 4-point lead on them, although they have a head to head game left.
Well, yeah, and they, you know, we can get to Los Angeles later, but in terms of Chicago, I think home ice means less to them than it might mean to Minnesota. But I do take exception, not really exception with what you said, but Minnesota has been unlucky. They have not been playing poorly. They completely dominated Chicago from middle first period throughout the end of the game, Chicago was just significantly more opportunistic with their chances in the last game that they played on Sunday. So Minnesota's not playing poorly. They're just not getting the bounces, and that happens in hockey. They just got to fight through it. But they do have a game in hand on you. So maybe Minnesota hangs on. Maybe they win the division. But for either one of those teams, I don't really think it matters, because the alternative is if you don't win the division, you play Nashville at home. Okay, so if Chicago wins the division, then they're going to play St. Louis at home and have home ice advantage. Or they won't win the division and they'll play Nashville at home, which is absolutely a winnable series for them. So, you know, I don't think it matters too much who finishes 1-2 in the Central.
All right, well, that's the Central, Chicago, Minnesota right now. And, again, they're going to finish 1-2. It just depends on which order.
Right.
Because Nashville is the third-place team. What about over in the Pacific? San Jose looks like they've, I don't want to say have it wrapped up, but a 9-point lead at this point of the season. Calgary 9 points behind them. Both have played 69 games, so there's no game in hand or anything there. It looks like San Jose is clearly going to win the Western, the Pacific Division.
Yeah.
With the 91 points, are they looking at trying to get the best record, because they're not that far behind Minnesota and Chicago?
Which is funny, because who thought of San Jose a couple of months ago? Nobody. I mean, you knew that they were on top of the division. You knew that they were playing well, but they've kind of slowly crept up into that spot where they're only, you know, they're within 2 points of the division lead. Maybe they do. I mean, the benefit of that, again, is playing a team that isn't as good in that first wild card spot. I mean, but then again, the wild card scenario in the West is not that good. I mean, you've got St. Louis, Los Angeles, and Edmonton. Okay, so San Jose could absolutely beat any of those three teams. You know, and that's, again, I think seeding matters more in the East than it does right now in the West, because the West has three teams that are legit, and everyone else is just kind of there. As good as Calgary has been, I mean, Calgary, Anaheim, first round. Take your pick. Neither one of them is going to beat San Jose.
Is it clearly, in your opinion right now, one of these three teams that will move on to the Stanley Cup final? Or is there somebody else? And I know you've said before, if the Kings get in, they can be dangerous.
Yeah.
I think part of that is your Kings fandom, but also reality, well, because of what they've done,
well,
in the past.
Right.
And they do have Quick and Ben Bishop, who is a hell of a backup goalie to have right now. But But is there another legitimate team out there? I mean, Edmonton obviously has talent, but you talked about Toronto being young. Edmonton also, they haven't been there.
Yeah.
Calgary is a talented team. The Ducks have been there in the past, but if they couldn't win with Boudreau behind the bench, I don't know if they win without Boudreau behind the bench. Is there somebody else, or do you see it being one of these three teams from the West?
Now, my dream scenario was to have Minnesota play Anaheim in the first round. I absolutely wanted to see that, and I don't think it's going to align that way. I want to see Calgary Edmonton first round. I want to see that matchup. I have zero interest in seeing Edmonton play Anaheim or Calgary play Anaheim. I really want to just see Anaheim drop into a wild card spot. Now, if I was Minnesota, I would hope and pray that the Los Angeles Kings do not get into the playoffs. Because if they do, Minnesota, if they win the Central, will play Los Angeles. And I don't really care what Minnesota has done. The last time Bruce Boudreau went head-to-head with Los Angeles in a playoff series, he lost a Game 7. And the Kings went on to win the Stanley Cup. I just believe that there are intangibles that the Kings have as an organization that gets them to where they need to be in the playoffs. Their game is built for the playoffs. It's not built for the regular season, which is why they struggle every single year to get into the freaking playoffs. But once they're there, that's their bread and butter. So if I was Minnesota, I'd want to stay away from a Los Angeles first-round matchup. But as a fan looking at this, I want to see Calgary-Edmonton. I absolutely do. And outside of Chicago, Minnesota, and San Jose, I don't see anybody else legitimate. I really don't. I think one of those three teams is going to make it to the Stanley Cup Finals.
All right, it is the Rink Rat Show, NBC Sports Line 20 The Game, Ballpark Frank, Ryan the Hockey Guy. Now we got about 8 minutes or so left in the show here, so let's
shocking
look at right now some of the scoring leaders. And
yeah, let's do that.
Some people say shocking to this. I'm not totally shocked. I'm pleasantly pleased. Patrick Kane, who has been absolutely on fire of late, don't look now, but he is now tied with Connor McDavid with 76 points for the overall points lead in the NHL. Although Edmonton had 7 goals the other night, McDavid only had 1 point in that game, which was kind of shocking when you think about it.
It was surprising, yeah.
And Patrick Kane, well, he had another 3-point game, a goal and 2 more assists. Kane and McDavid, if you went by who's the hottest right now, Kane would be the guy. He's got the momentum going, but it doesn't necessarily work that way. Who is the favorite to win the points championship for this season? Is it Kane? Is it McDavid? Brad Marchand is right behind at 74, along with Sidney Crosby. Anytime you say Sidney Crosby, he's always dangerous. Evgeny Malkin is in 5th place with 72 points. Of course, Crosby and Malkin can help each other on a night-in and night-out basis. They're not always on the ice together, but sometimes they are certainly out there. Is there a clear-cut favorite, or do you see a dark horse maybe that could still come out of nowhere that could win this thing with about, say, 12 to 14 games left for most teams?
My dream scenario, my ideal scenario would be Brent Burns. I'm still holding out hope that Brent Burns can figure out a way to get hot, just catch fire and light the world on fire. But I don't remember exactly how I said it, but I believe I went out and I said Connor McDavid would not win the scoring title this year. And I firmly believe that. And I also argued against Connor McDavid being a generational talent, a generational player, because his numbers in his second year are nowhere near what Sidney Crosby put up in his second year, and everybody's all ready to anoint him the best player in the world. I'm sorry, kid, you haven't done it. You're not going to do it, not this year. I feel like Sidney Crosby is going to catch fire here down the stretch. He had 2 points in his last game. He plays again tonight, Wednesday. I feel like it's his year. I feel like he's just going to cap this year off with an Art Ross and Rocket Richard. He is still leading in goals. So I'd like to say Crosby, but I know it's not going to be McDavid.
Kaner could do it again. Could go back to back.
You know, I think that that's a possibility, but I don't know that. I don't know. I don't know that I see Patrick Kane winning the scoring title again. I really don't.
I didn't think he'd be this close at this point a while back. So, but again, we'll see what happens. There's still a lot of hockey to play, but it is interesting. Kane has certainly caught fire. But then again, look at a guy like Alex Ovechkin. You can also go in a cold slump and all of a sudden be out of it.
Sure. Yeah.
Of course, what Ovechkin is most known for is scoring goals. Currently, the goal scoring leadership in the NHL this year, Sidney Crosby with 35. Tied with Brad Marchand of Boston. Malkin and Pacioretty and Patrick Laine all have 33. Those are your top 5 goal scorers. Who's favored in that? If you think Crosby's going to be the points leader, do you also think he's just going to be the out-and-out goal-scoring leader?
I hope so. I would love to see that happen. I really would. I would like to see him clean up the individual scoring races. Now, is that going to happen? I don't know. If not Crosby... And this hurts my crush on Austin Matthews a little bit, but I would love to see Patrick Laine do it. I'd love it. I would love to see a rookie win the Rocket Richard. It would be fantastic.
That'd be fun.
It would be. Now I would love it if it was Austin Matthews. He's hit a little bit of a cold slump here, but he can catch fire at any time. And you know, the guy put up 4 goals in his first NHL game, so it's not like he is that far off at 31 goals, but I would love to see either Sidney Crosby or one of the 2 rookies. That would be a dream scenario for me.
All right, real quick, I'm going to throw in one other stat here because I think this is it's respected in the hockey community, but I don't know if it gets enough respect in the entire spectrum of the game, and that is the plus-minus. And the best plus-minus people, and trust me, it pains me to throw this one in, but I'm going to anyhow because I try to be honest about it. Of the top 5 plus-minus people in the NHL,
look at that.
3 of them are from the Minnesota Wild.
4 of them. Jason Zucker is number 1 with 34. And then tied for 2nd is Ryan Suter. And then Mikko Koivu and Jared Spurgeon are 4 and 5, respectively.
Does Koivu, okay, because Spurgeon's not on the list that I have here.
Oh, well, I just pulled it up on my app.
Yeah, but I just printed this out this morning. It's Zucker's first, Sutter second, Orpik, well, Sutter and Orpik both. Then Koivu's plus 31, and Justin Schultz of Pittsburgh is 30.
Spurgeon's tied with him. I mean, that tells you all you need to know, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, Minnesota has been, again, when you're looking at overall plus minus, Minnesota has been incredible with what they've done this year. That's why it's so interesting to me, the slump that they've been in of late. But I mean, for crying out loud, they're a plus 58 for the season.
I thought Bruce Boudreau couldn't coach.
Well, he can't coach a game 7. Otherwise, right. He's pretty good.
Yes. I mean, you got 4 guys in the top 5 in plus minus, and people still think that you're not a very good coach. I don't get it.
It's all Devin Dubnyk.
Yeah, that's the entire, you know, that Stahl Niederreiter coil line for Minnesota is just phenomenal. Just phenomenal.
They're scary, man.
You can't get the puck away from them.
I know they're not playing real well of late, but they still scare the hell out of me.
I mean, that game that they played against Chicago, that line alone had 10 grade-A scoring chances.
Well, Crawford had to stand on his head. They had like 43 shots on
goal. Crawford's lucky he still has
a head. Which I know our buddy Brian Blessing says is the most overrated stat in sports. I disagree.
What's that? Shots on goal. Oh, I mean,
I think shots on goal is an important stat.
It depends on the team. The Los Angeles shots on goal means nothing because they take shots from everywhere. But, you know, Minnesota getting grade-A scoring chances and out-shooting opponents, that means something.
All right, real quick, want to throw this in because I said we had a feel-good story, and I'm not going to wait till the next show to do it this time. So real quickly here, Riley Zimmer, 13-year-old from Alberta, is a Blackhawk fan.
Oh, gosh, of course.
Recently, on March 1st, the Chicago Blackhawks sent a limousine to his home in Alberta, picked him up from his home, took him to the airport, flew him down to the United Center, told him, no, you're not just here for the game, son. Get on in here, put on the pads, because he said he always wanted to play goalie in an NHL game. They put the pads on him. He went on the ice. He skated a practice with the Blackhawk players. He got to face the shots of Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, Artemi Panarin, and the whole crew, Marian Hossa. Then got autographs, pictures, hung around in the locker room. Him and his family got taken to their 5-star hotel, and they enjoyed the game that night where the Blackhawks beat the Pittsburgh Penguins. So he said, basically, greatest day of his life, and I'm sure it was. But once again, and I'm not saying this just because it's the Blackhawks. Obviously, when I saw that, it put a smile on my face. But this is something that the NHL does all over the place. And again, one of the reasons why this city is going to absolutely love when the Golden Knights start up here. These are the kind of things that they do in hockey.
We still got time, right?
No, we got about a minute.
Oh, okay, good. I'm going to write a letter to the Chicago Blackhawks and tell them that they have the biggest fan in the world in Frank Harnish out here in Las Vegas. And I want to see if they'll do that for you. I want to see
that'd be awesome.
We'll get you a limo, fly you out to the United Center, put you on the ice, and then try to decapitate you like Shea Weber did to Corey Crawford.
That'd be awesome.
You know, I know that we're up against it. How did he not leave the game? How did he not have to go through the concussion protocol? That's something I want to talk about next episode, next show.
Because he's a hockey player.
No, he's an idiot.
He's a hockey player.
It was like he got shot.
We don't have a backup.
I don't care.
Corey, don't listen to Ryan. Keep doing what you're doing, my friend.
He's got a concussion. Absolutely.
That's all right. Rub a little dirt on it. Let's go. All right, for Ryan, the hockey guy on Ballpark Frank, have yourself a great week. We'll talk to you again next week. Rink Rat Show, NBC Sports 920 The Game. We are out of here.